Praise God for new songs. Yeah. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. What would Jesus say to Donald Trump? I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And then in Luke's gospel, then He said to them all, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Let us pray. Gracious God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom here to move in this place and to speak to every heart. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us today. Give us, God, feet and faith to walk the faith that we hear from Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our society today is fascinated with celebrities. And so you'll have regular shows and they make it into some type of celebrity show. I understand that right now they have the celebrity undercover boss. They have the celebrity family feud. They have the celebrity Big Brother. And then the guy that we're going to talk a little bit about today had Celebrity Apprentice. People are fascinated with celebrities. Have you wondered why that is? I want to give you two reasons. First off, let me just say a celebrity is somebody that is well known and has a celebrated life. They're well known and they have a celebrated life. That's where the word celebrity comes from. I want you to think about it. In Jesus' day, Jesus would have been a celebrity. That is, He was well known, easily recognized, and many people celebrated His life. But you know what else I've noticed about celebrities? People either love them or hate them. People love Donald Trump or they hate Donald Trump. In Jesus' day, they loved Him or they hated Him. Now, why are we so fascinated with celebrities? Number one, I think it's because we fantasize what it would be like. What would it be like to be rich? What would it be like to be beautiful? What would it be like to be famous? What would it be like to be popular or powerful? Well, the people we're going to look at, they know what that's like. And we imagine, oh, what it would it be like? But I believe there's another reason, a deeper reason, that we're fascinated with celebrities. And that is, they make us feel good about ourselves. Because you see, I can look at these celebrities and I can say, oh, I would never do something like that. Now you understand, some of the folks we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks, they have some outlandish things that they have done in their life. And whether you love Donald Trump or hate him, he said some outlandish things and done some as well. And when we see somebody mess up on the stage of life, it makes us feel good. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'd say, oh, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. You're going to see we do that. But as we go over these celebrities, I want to just put a disclaimer out there to start with. And that is, it's not our job to judge these people. And in this series, I'm not going to browbeat Kim Kardashian. Or Donald Trump. Or any of these people that we're going to look at. In Luke 6:37 it says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Let me tell you why we shouldn't judge these celebrities. We don't know all the facts. We don't know what the truth is about some of this stuff, okay? We're not God. God knows all of the facts, and God is able to judge, and God will judge. I want to just give you an example of what I'm talking about. The latest edition of Time magazine has President Donald Trump on the front. I ain't got that far yet, Ashley. That wasn't the cover of Time magazine. That's a different cover. The cover of Time magazine has Donald Trump, and it has a two-year-old Honduran child crying. You probably saw a picture of the little crying two-year-old. And Time magazine has the two-year-old standing this way crying. Donald Trump's looking down, and it says, "Welcome to America." And the cover and the title is, it's this little girl is crying because she's been separated from her mother when she illegally came into the United States, and all of these children are suffering under the policy of Donald Trump. Now, let me just say this. According to the Chicago Tribune, that little girl that was crying was never separated from her mother. This has been verified by the mother, Sandra Sanchez, that her and her daughter were never separated. And yet it's on the cover of Time magazine. Now get this. It gets even more interesting. The father's name, I can remember his name. His name's Dennis. They spoke to him, and he verified that this was his daughter. But listen to this very, very troubling news. He said his wife and his daughter left 3 weeks ago from Honduras, and she didn't tell anybody. She didn't even tell him that she was leaving and left him behind with three other of their children. What you also don't see on the Time magazine cover is this same woman was caught illegally entering the United States in 2013 and was deported back to Honduras by President Obama. You see why we shouldn't judge? Time magazine made a judgment, put it out there on the cover, and they got it wrong. You and I shouldn't judge others because we don't know all the facts and we can get it wrong. So our celebrity we're going to talk about today is Donald John Trump. He was born January the 14th in 1946 in New York City in the Queens Borough. He grew up and graduated with an economics degree from the School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. The University of Pennsylvania was founded by Benjamin Franklin before the Revolutionary War. Very prestigious school. So he has a degree in economics. When he got out of school, his dad loaned him $1 million. He started up his own business, and according to Forbes magazine, Donald J. Trump is worth $3.1 billion. Now, Donald says he's worth 10, but Forbes says he's worth 3.1. But think about that. He has taken that original investment, and he has multiplied it 3,100 times. That's like me giving you a penny and turning it into $310. Man, I'd like to have a roll of pennies, wouldn't you? He's been successful in real estate. He's been successful as a writer, and he's been successful as a TV star. Love him or hate him, he has been a genius when it comes to business. Now, as we think about Donald Trump, how would you summarize him in one word? To me, that one word would be deal. Donald Trump's a deal maker. As a matter of fact, in 1989, he wrote a book called The Art of the Deal that was on the New York Times bestsellers list for 13 weeks in a row. And so today I want to talk to you about Donald Trump, the deal maker, and about how God doesn't make deals. Are you ready? All right, let's jump in. Number one, you can't make deals with God. And I'm going to give you some example from Scripture. And by the way, I should have said this earlier. You might say, preacher, isn't it presumptuous that you know what Jesus would say to Donald Trump? Or any of these celebrities? And I'd say, no. You see, Jesus had lots of conversations with lots of different kinds of people from all kinds of life. And we can find all of them right in the Word of God. Number one, Donald, you can't make deals with God. Let's look at Simon the sorcerer as an example of someone who tried to make a deal with God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 9, now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the great power. And they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Do you understand that Simon was a celebrity? That is, everybody high and low paid attention to him. Everybody high and low said he was somebody great and he had a great power. But something happened. The disciples came to town. They started preaching about Jesus Christ. People started getting saved. Their lives started changing. A crowd gathered around and Simon says, you know what? Something's going on here. What's going on? I want to find out about this. The Apostle Peter and the Apostle John came down, saw what was going on, laid their hands on them, and the power of God fell on that place. The power of the Holy Spirit moved on the people's lives. And Simon said, I want in on this. I want in on this. I don't know about you, but that's a good thing, isn't it? When God's doing something, I want in on it, don't you? But notice here, he tries to make a deal with God. Verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the hands of the apostles, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Simon knew he didn't have the real power. He wanted the real power. He said, I'll give you money. I'll give you $5,000. I'll give you $10,000. I'll give you $20,000. Come on, make a deal with me. You see, Simon was a celebrity who was trying to make a deal with God. But notice here God's answer through the Apostle Peter. Verse 22. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. What does God call trying to make a deal with him? God calls it wickedness. When you and I try to make a deal with God, God said, that is wickedness. Repent of it. You say, oh, preacher, I would never try to do something like that. Oh, really? Probably one of the first prayers you ever prayed was a deal-making prayer. It's the second grade. You come into the class and the teacher says, all right, we're having a pop quiz. You said, oh my, I don't know up from down. I'm in trouble. And so you're sitting there and Sally is sitting up in front of you. She's a straight A student. And so you pray a prayer something like this. Now, God, if you let her move over to the side so I could see her paper, I won't cuss God for a month. Or it might have been something like this. You're in high school and you finally got up enough nerve to ask the redheaded girl out to the prom. And you prayed something like, God, if you would just let her say yes, I promise I won't fight with my sister for a whole year. Now, adults, they never would try to make a deal with God. God, if you'll just let me have this job. God, if you'll let me get this promotion. Lord, I'll tithe 10% if you let me win the lottery. You see, we are all guilty of trying to make a deal with God at some time in our life. God, if you'll just heal me of cancer, I'll stand up and I'll tell everybody how wonderful and powerful you are. You see, we're trying to make a deal with God. Number one, Donald Trump, you can't make deals with God. Number two, God initiates the deal with you. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, a deal is something you negotiate. Well, God says eternal life is a gift. Well, you don't negotiate a gift. What do? You accept it or reject it. And so God initiates the deal. God sets the terms. God has the plan. And God says, here's the plan. Accept it or reject it. But you cannot negotiate with God on the terms of the deal. You can't say, all right, now, God, forgive me of my sins. Take me to heaven when I die. But, Lord, let me hang on to my pet sin. You see, you can't negotiate with God. You accept it or you reject it. In Acts 16, verse 30, it says, he then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. You see, God's deal is ideal, and he offers it to you, and you accept it or reject it. Number three, Donald Trump, you have nothing to offer God. You ought to make a deal with God. You ought to negotiate with God. You got to have something you can bring to the table. Notice what it says in Isaiah 64:6. All of us, who does that leave out? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. The word there, filthy rags, is an interesting term. It's a medical term, and it would describe a bandage that would be wrapped up on a leprous sore. So imagine this sore, and it's oozing pus, and it's oozing blood, and it's been that way for days, and you unwrap it, and it stinks, and it smells, and it's nasty. The Bible says all of your goodness is like filthy rags. In other words, when you come to God and you want to make a deal with God, God says, you have nothing to offer. Donald Trump, with your $10 billion, you have nothing to offer God. God owns it all. What are you going to give God, Donald Trump? But you know, it's just not Donald Trump. Billy Graham has nothing to offer God. Dennis Bean has nothing to offer God. The God of the universe is self-contained. He don't need anything from anybody. So how you gonna make a deal with God when you have nothing to offer? Let me give you an example. The rich young ruler came up to Jesus Christ. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Oh, don't you just love that? Jesus looked at him and loved him, said, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked at him, Jesus loved him, and Jesus said, you lack one thing. I wished I could say that. I wished I could say, God, only come up short one thing. Can I tell you, I come up short on a whole lot of things, okay? But one thing. And so Jesus laid it out there to him. And what did he do? He walked away. Because you see, the only thing you can do with God's covenant is accept it or reject it. You cannot negotiate with it. And notice, here's a fella, he has it going on. He is young, he is rich, he is powerful, he is a ruler, and Jesus let him walk away. You see, when God made each of us, he gave us free will. God will not violate your free will. God will knock on your heart. God will love on you. God will draw you. God will woo you. But God will not twist your arm and violate your free will. He let that rich young ruler walk away. And notice when he walked away, Jesus didn't run after him and say, wait a minute, just kidding. Come on back, you know, let's negotiate. No, you don't have to get rid of all of it, just half of it. Jesus didn't negotiate with him. You know why? This guy had nothing to offer. I want you to think about Donald Trump, the negotiator, the deal maker. He recently went to North Korea, and he sat down with the dictator, Kim Jong-un, and he brokered a deal. How was that possible? Trump had something that Kim Jong-un wanted, get rid of the sanctions. Kim Jong-un had something that Donald Trump wanted, get rid of the nuclear warhead. You see, they both had something to offer. They both had something to get. And you and I, we cannot deal with God because we bring nothing to the table. Number four, God has everything to offer. God has everything to offer. In Matthew 6:32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things. What does that mean? Anything that you need, God has it. What do you and I do? We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That is, we come to God on God's terms. And when we do that, God then takes care of all of our needs. Jesus would come up to a person and he would ask this question, do you want to be made whole? He never did say, do you want to be healed? He said, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be physically well, emotionally well, mentally well, spiritually well? You see, Jesus Christ is the only one that can make us whole. He has everything to offer. You see, the celebrities have an advantage on us this morning. You see, many folks in this room, they think, I would be happy if I had some more money. I'd be happy if I was liked by more people. I would be happy if I was prettier, or if I was taller, or if I was more athletic, or if I was more famous. You see, the celebrities have already found out none of that stuff will make you happy. Because, you see, they got all of this stuff already, and they're not happy. But can I tell you, Jesus can satisfy the longing of your soul. He can fulfill you, and he can make you happy and blessed like no one else can. He has everything to offer. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. God has everything to offer. Speaking of another famous person, we got any Cowboy fans here? Well, you'll recognize this name, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones was the captain of the 1964 Arkansas Razorbacks that were the national football champions. After college, he got into oil business and made a fortune. And in the 1980s, he bought America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, for $150 million. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys are worth about $2.5 billion. I would say that's a pretty good return on his investment. But one of the things that I remember Jerry Jones saying was on national television, he said, I've made a deal with the man upstairs. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You can't make a deal with a man upstairs. First off, he's not a man. He is the creator, God of the universe. And he's not just upstairs. He's downstairs. He's inside. He's outside. He is everywhere. And he owns everything. And he comes and says, here's my deal. I have the ideal deal, is what God says. Number five, Jesus would say to Donald Trump, you should stop your dealing. Just stop dealing with God. An example of this would be Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the most powerful man in the world at this time, kind of like Donald Trump, most powerful man in the world at this time. God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Exodus 5:2. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Pharaoh was on the ride of pride. I don't know God. I don't answer to God. No deal, God. So what's God do? God says, all right, I'll soften you up a little bit. I'm going to send some plagues. And the plagues start coming. And Pharaoh, he calls Moses back in chapter 8 and verse 10. He said, I pray and ask God to stop the plagues. And if you do, I'll let you go tomorrow. You see what Pharaoh's doing? He's still trying to make a deal with God. He's still trying to make his own terms. All right, God, I'll do what you want to, but I'm going to do it on my time, on my time. I had a son like that. I'd say, son, you need to take out the trash in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes. That was his way of controlling the situation. He knew he's taking the trash out, but his way was, I'm going to do it in my time. Pharaoh said, I'll do it in my time. You see, God's been speaking to some of you, and you're trying to deal with God. All right, God, I'll do it in my time. No, God says, you'll do it on my time, not your time. And so God sent some more plagues. All right, so what does he do? He calls Moses back in. So, all right, Moses, uncle, all right, I'm ready. Listen, you can go out to the desert and you can worship. It is okay. Just don't go far. Just don't go far. You see, what's he doing? He's trying to negotiate. All right, now you can go. You can go now, but you can't go far. So what does God do? God sends some more plagues. He calls Moses back in. What does he say in chapter 10, verse 11? He says, okay, you can go, but only the men, the women and the children, have to stay home. And the men go out into the desert, go as far as you want to, worship God, but you got to leave the women and the children. He's still trying to deal with God. God says, no way. He sends more plagues. And then notice what happens in chapter 10, verse 24. More plagues. He comes back in and says, all right, God. All right, the women can go, the children can go, the men can go, but all the sheep and all the cattle and all the herds, they got to stay. You have to remember, this is how these people made a living. They were ranchers and shepherds. And God says, no deal. We're going to send some more plagues. And then notice what happens in chapter 12, verse 31. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. What finally got his attention? The death angel came and all the firstborn died. I remember seeing the Ten Commandments on television the first time. Scared me to death. The death angel came that night and all the firstborn died. My mama had four children. I was the firstborn. Scared me to death. But notice here, he tries to deal with God. God wouldn't deal with him. And think about it. Pharaoh, through the hail and the locust, he lost all of his crops. He lost his cows. He lost his herd. He lost his firstborn. And his whole army was drowned in the Red Sea. All because Pharaoh thought he could deal with God. God would say to Donald Trump, stop dealing with me. Number six, Jesus would say to Donald Trump, you should trust God's dealings. Proverbs 3, verse 5, Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You see, folks, God's deal is ideal. God's deal is ideal. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment with me this verse. I want you to imagine right here is a wall, okay? There's a wall right here. Well, that's kind of cool. We're talking about Donald Trump. Talk about a wall, all right? Well, there's a wall right here. And notice how that verse says, you're on one side of the wall or the other side of the wall. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's on one side. What's on the other side of the wall? Lean on your own understanding. In other words, am I going to be on this side of the wall and I'm going to trust God with all of my heart? Am I going to accept God's plan? Am I going to accept God's deal? Or am I going to be on this side over here and say, all right, God, here's my plan. Here's my deal. Here's my agenda. Now, God, all you have to do is initial. You put your initials right here, God. Just put your approval right here on my will, on my plan, on my agenda. Are you listening? Right here's the wall. Where do we spend most of our time? On the side where I trust God with all of my heart, or on this side over here where I lean on my understanding? Oh, I had a wonderful Sunday school lesson today, and we started off in our class by asking, have you been to the internet recently to solve a problem? Oh, let's go Google that. You see, I'm leaning on my own understanding. I'm leaning on what technology says. I'm leaning on what the world says. And God says that if I will trust in Him with all of my heart, He will make my path straight. What would Jesus say to Donald Trump? Well, Donald Trump had a famous television show called The Apprentice, and then the Celebrity Apprentice. And he had a signature saying that he would say all the time, and we have a video clip of it, and I'd like for you to see this video clip. Can we play that, Ashley?
You're fired.
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 The last thing Jesus would say to Donald Trump, Donald, you should fire yourself. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Donald Trump, fire yourself. Not as president, not as a realtor, not as a TV star. Fire yourself as the master of your life. Donald Trump, come to God and say, God, I want your deal because your deal is ideal. Come to God with an open hand and an open heart and let God's will be done in your life, Donald Trump. But you see, I believe that God would say the same thing to all of us. I believe God's saying to all of us today, trust the Lord with all of your heart. Bring your life and trust Him. Bring your marriage and trust Him. Bring your family and trust Him. Bring your children and trust Him. Bring your job and trust Him. Bring your health and trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let Jesus be the master of your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. In a moment, we're going to have a time of commitment and invitation. And it's going to be simple. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat. If the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, come to this altar and say, God, I want your deal that is ideal. God, I'm not trying to negotiate. I'm not trying to bargain. I'm not trying to make deals. God, I want your will for my life. I want your will for my marriage. I want your will for my problem. I want your will for my situation. And I trust you. You're a good God. You're a great God, a loving God, a merciful God. And I trust you right now, God, with all my heart. Heavenly Father, as we have this time of decision making, may we decide to fire ourselves and let Jesus be the master of our life. Lead us now, God, as we make our commitments. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.